Well, good morning. When I was in high school, I used to go on backpacking trips in the summertime, and we'd go to Colorado and with my church youth group. And during one trip in particular, I have some memories of us hiking through the woods and going up on mountains and seeing wonderful and beautiful sights. And one night in particular, we were coming around the bend, and we decided it was time to make camp. It was about to get dark. And we decided, look, there's a beautiful valley ahead of us. Why don't we camp down there? We'll set up our sleeping bags, and it was a great day, clear skies, not a cloud in the sky. We thought, oh, we'll just sleep under the stars tonight. And as we were setting up our camp, a few of us heard some sounds coming from around us. We weren't quite sure what it was, where it was coming from. And so we started looking around, and we noticed a few hundred yards away, sort of across this valley, in the midst of all these grand mountains, there were some animals that were grazing over there. Not quite what we thought to see in the middle of Colorado, but nevertheless, you find it. And they were sheep grazing in a valley. It turns out we had in our trail, I guess part of the trail crosses into a sheep herder's property. And he had his sheep, and he was actually out there with them, and we sort of waved, and he waved back, and we asked if we could camp, spend the night there, and he said, sure enough, you can sleep here. Well, it turns out that I didn't get much sleep that night, because between the rocks underneath my sleeping bag and the cries of the sheep across the valley, we didn't sleep that much. We sort of, every now and then, were woken up by a bleeding sheep across the way. So it was definitely a restless night. You know, I started, as I was thinking about this story, I started thinking about sheep. Sheep are interesting creatures. And I don't know if you know much about sheep, but I have a few fun facts I thought I'd share with you this morning, just to spark your curiosity. You know, there are approximately 1 billion sheep on the planet. 1 billion sheep. And that there are over 900 different types of sheep. That's a lot of sheep. You know, that sheep make a bleating sound. That's their cry. And that a baby lamb can identify its mother by her cry. It's pretty interesting, her cry alone. You know that 1 pound of wool, 1 pound, can make 10 miles of yarn. 10 miles of yarn. That's a lot of yarn. You can do a lot of knitting with that yarn. You know, in one baseball, it's baseball season, I'm a Cards fan. In one baseball, there's 150 yards of wool yarn in one baseball. It's a lot of yarn in there also. Here's an interesting one for you. When President Woodrow Wilson was president, his wife, the first lady, had sheep grazing in the White House lawn because she wanted them to keep the lawn nice and neatly trimmed. And President James Madison, he wore a jacket that was made from the wool from sheep on his farm when he became president, when he was inaugurated. You know, have you ever noticed similarities between sheep and humans? Have you ever noticed that there are similarities? There are similarities. I might point out a couple to you this morning. One, both sheep and humans, we both desire community. Sheep desire to be with the herd. When they get lost, they get scared. It's the same for us. We desire to be with one another. We desire to love, and we desire to be loved. You know that both sheep and humans need guidance. We both need to be guided. When sheep are left alone and when they sort of start wandering along, they end up lost, couldn't they? They can end up lost. And we're the same way. We could end up left to our own wisdom and left to our own devices. We can become very quickly lost and very quickly led astray. You know that we both need protection. We both need protection. Sheep need protection from wolves and predators. And the same way we need protection from temptation. From evil, from the devil's snares. Ultimately, we both need a shepherd. We both need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd to lead them to food, to lead them to water, to lead them to shelter. And in the same way, we need the good shepherd. And we read about that earlier this morning. The good shepherd is who we need. Someone to give us direction. Someone to comfort us along the way. There's a lot that we can learn from sheep. I would even say, it's very possible God created sheep so that we might learn. We might learn from sheep. He created them so that we could see ourselves. We could see how we are like them. We could grow from that. We could grow from that. You know, in Scripture, God refers to Himself as the shepherd many times. And He refers to us as His sheep. Here's a few examples. Psalm 23. We all know how that starts, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Ezekiel 34 says, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. In 1 Peter 2:25, it says that you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. How often do we go astray? How often do clouds and darkness plague our lives? Are we so naive to think that when things are good, they're always going to be that way? Discouragement and despair are part of life, aren't they? They're a very real part of life in this sinful world. You may even be feeling discouraged today, feeling hopeless, feeling lost, maybe even feeling a bit abandoned. Are the circumstances in your life weighing upon your heart, weighing heavily upon your heart? Well, this morning we're going to be looking at a passage from Isaiah, Isaiah 40. And in our passage, as we begin reading, Israel has been in exile. They've been in Babylon, being captive from their land. They're being held there against their will because the Babylonian nation has captured them. And they are beginning to lose hope. They are forgetting about the promises of their covenant God. So let's turn our hearts to the Scripture now. And we'll begin reading this morning in Isaiah 40, verse 1. And as we read this morning, let us remember that Scripture is God's Word. That it is infallible, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and has total authority in our lives. So let's read now the Word of the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voices with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flocks like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The word of the Lord this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask now that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would illuminate our hearts so that we might understand and know your word, that it would become alive to us. And may you be seen today in these words. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, our Father is a compassionate Father. And he saw it fitting here to remind Israel, through the prophet Isaiah, of his promise to them. His comforting promise to them. You know, the occasion of this promise arises out of the need that we have, and Israel had, to be comforted. To be comforted because they were a failing and a flailing people. Israel, they had failed miserably. That's why they were in exile. They had turned away from God. They had sought their own way. They began worshiping idols and false gods. They no longer sought God when they were making decisions. Because of their sins and their transgressions against the law of God, God allowed them to be taken captive by the Babylonians. And now they're in exile.
away from their own land. They have become discouraged, and they are losing sight of their covenant God. So God speaks to them, and He says, comfort ye, my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I don't know if you're familiar with the Handel's Messiah, but there's a beautiful solo in Handel's Messiah that is right out of this passage. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. They find great comfort in these words, and we too can find great comfort in these words. We may find that even though we fail, even though we sin against God, He still extends compassion. He still extends mercy to us as a father to His children. It says in Isaiah later that we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. In Christ we are pardoned. In Christ we are forgiven for our sins. Yahweh, the covenant God, says to us, I will be your God, and you will be my people. What an amazing promise that there is in that. Amazing comfort. And as we continue reading our passage this morning, we see that Yahweh comforts His people by setting forth a promise to them. And in verse 3, if we continue reading, it says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain shall be made low, and the rough ground shall become level. Every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged place plain. God's promise here is threefold. It's a threefold promise. First, God promises that the King is coming. Now imagine the Israelites. You know, they're in exile. They're frustrated. They're discouraged. They're away from their land. They don't know what's going on. And God promises them here that their King is coming. Their King is coming. How might we be able to agree with them and feel this sense of we need to be reminded that the King is coming? Our King is coming. And God says here that we need to prepare the way of the Lord. God is telling us to get ready. God is telling us to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, for the King is coming. What is it that we need to do? What do we need to make right? I think you might be able to think about those things. What is it that you need to do to make things right in your life? Do it now, because the King is coming. With whom do you need to seek reconciliation? Maybe there's someone you're at ends with. Do it now, because the King is coming. He is coming. Where might you serve the Lord, but you haven't done so yet because it's not the right time? Do it now. The King is coming. The King is coming. And Isaiah continues on and he says that we need to make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Let me ask you today, are you dwelling in the wilderness? Are you dwelling in a dry and desolate and hopeless place? Or are you seeking to dwell in the kingdom of God? Are you seeking to dwell in His house? What are you doing to remove those obstructions in life, those obstacles that come along that keep you from obedience? We must be ever aware that we are a depraved people. Our minds are sinful. We have crooked minds. We have hearts that are stubborn. Our hearts are very stubborn. And we have to remember and constantly remind ourselves that we are called to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow Christ the King. We may take comfort in knowing that the King is coming and will rule forevermore. Forever and ever and ever and ever. He will rule. Eternally, without end. But there is a warning here. There is a warning here. There's a warning to the unbeliever. That when the King comes, if you're not for Him, you're His enemy. And that's a very real warning. We can think about how might we remind those around us? How might we be an instrument to prepare the way for God? In Christ, we can rest assured that the Lord will easily make a path for Himself. Nothing stands in the way of God, does it? Nothing at all. God will make it clear. He will make the path plain. As it says, every valley will be raised up and every mountain will be made low, for nothing can stand in His way. as if he's just walking right on level ground, and we're going to be right behind him. We can be right behind him. And this is the second aspect of God's comforting promise to his people. This aspect is that God will accomplish his purpose. God will accomplish that which he sets out to do in us, in the church, in the world. He will accomplish it, and we can find great hope in that. Great hope in that. Nothing can prevent Yahweh from delivering and restoring his church. The hand of God will be victorious and will prevail against all the difficulties that plague our lives, all the difficulties that plague the church, all the difficulties that plague the world. Are you discouraged today? Then seek the comforting hand of God, knowing that he will accomplish that which he sets out to do. He will break down the obstacles. He will break down the barriers. In the face of trials and struggles, Yahweh, our God will make it as if we were walking on level ground. And in doing this, in accomplishing his purpose, the glory of the Lord Jesus will be revealed. The glory of the Lord Jesus will be revealed. And this is the third aspect of his promise, that his glory will be revealed. And it says in Isaiah verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it." And this is where we find that God is great and that God is mighty and amazing and powerful. Well, what is his glory? What comes to mind when you think about the glory of God? What comes to my mind, I think about Moses before the burning bush. This blazing bush in front of him. And it's not being consummated. It's just sitting there burning, yet still there. And God says to Moses, "Take off your sandals, for you're on holy ground." Or you might think of Moses when he comes down from the mountain, from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and it says his face was shining, was glowing, because he had seen the Lord. The Lord had impressed upon him his glory. His face was shining with the glory. The glory of the Lord is a blazing beauty. It is when God becomes visible to us. It is the power of God displayed in our lives, in our church, in this world. The work of redemption is splendid, and that is the glory of God. That he redeems us, that he restores us, that he uses us to serve this world. Christ Jesus, it says in the New Testament that he's the author and perfecter of our faith. And he's the author and perfecter of all of his creation. And that all of it will be openly manifested in all places. And that he will be seen in all places and in all the world. All mankind will see it, it says in Isaiah. The glory of God will be seen in the heavens and in the earth, even in the darkest, most hidden corner of the world. The glory of God will be seen. None can hide from God's glory. No one. Not even the darkest, hardest heart can hide from the glory of God. It says in Philippians, if you recall, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee. Belief, unbelief will be turned into belief. Jesus is King. He's accomplishing his purpose, and his glory will be revealed. Well, how can we be certain of God's promise? How do we know that his promises last? That he is the God who will do what he says? Well, it tells us in Scripture. It says that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. The Word of God stands forever. We can be certain of God's promise because God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 46. Our lives may seem uncertain. Our lives may be wavering back and forth. But God is a never-changing foundation. A never-changing foundation. We face doubts. We struggle in our faith. We fail. It's very proven fact that we are unreliable, isn't it? We are very unreliable. But the Word of God stands forever. So where are we putting our trust? Where are we putting our faith? In our own flesh? In our own lives? In our own hands? Are we holding on to a false opinion of our own wisdom, thinking of ourselves higher than we ought? We need to remember that Isaiah reminds us here that we are all like grass, which withers and it blows in the wind. I don't know about you, but I like to take care of my lawn when I have a lawn. And when we lived in Charlotte, I labored long and hard to try to keep my lawn nice and green and, you know, manicured and free from weeds and other pests. We had a lot of ant hills in our lawn in Charlotte. And I never quite accomplished this. Never quite got there for a couple reasons. You see, the biggest reason was that while we lived in Charlotte, there was a drought going on in the state of North Carolina and South Carolina. And because of the drought, we couldn't water our lawn except for one day a week. We could water our lawn on Sundays. Seems fitting. We could go out and water our lawn on the Lord's Day. There was a statewide drought. And what happened to my lawn? Well, it died, especially in August and in the last part of July. I actually remember one summer I didn't mow my lawn from the month of June through the month of September because it was so dry. I mean, I liked it. I'm not complaining on that fact. Didn't have to mow my lawn every week. But it was crunchy. It was hard. It was dried up. And what happens? Well, the pests come in and take over. You know, weeds can really thrive in almost anything, it seems like. It doesn't matter whether they have water or not. They seem to grow everywhere, don't they? The weeds just keep on coming. And why is that? Why does the grass die? Why won't it stay healthy? Because it needs water. It needs nutrition. You know, we're just like that. We're just like this grass. We need water. We need the water that springs forth from the Holy Spirit. We need a solid foundation that never changes. You know, the weather changes. My grass is very conditional upon the weather. Very conditional. Are our lives going to be conditional upon the circumstances of life? Or are they going to be based on the Word of God? Are they going to be grounded in Him, which never changes? And what part does the Word of God play in your life? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you seek to understand it? It is the bread of life, after all. The bread of life, which we must feed upon it. What are we to do with God's comforting promise? His promise that the King is coming, that He will accomplish His purpose, and that His Word lasts forever, and His glory will be revealed. What are we to do with this promise? Well, what does Isaiah say in the end of this passage? He says, "Go on up on a high mountain and lift your voices and shout it from the hilltops." Shout it from the hilltops. You know, I don't think we're always the best at shouting things from the hilltops. Now, we are when it comes to sports, or maybe it comes to our favorite things. We like to tell others about maybe a new pair of shoes we got, or maybe we like to tell our friends that our favorite baseball team won the game and we're really excited about it. We like to shout about these things. But how often do we shout about the promises of God in our lives? How often do we shout that in our families, in our communities, in our neighborhood? How often do we go up on a mountain and we lift high our voices to the praise of God, to His glory? You know, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to increase our enjoyment by spreading the joy that God has given us to others. It's a real opportunity that we have. How are we going to take advantage of that opportunity? How are we going to remember that we can rest in the comfort of God's arms? For He tends His flocks like a shepherd, and He gathers His lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. We are comforted in Christ, and we can share that comfort. We can extend that comfort to others by serving, by sharing His gospel. You see, our hearts cry out, just like this baby lamb cries out. And you know who hears our voice and recognizes us? God does. He is the good shepherd, after all. He is the one who gathers us into His arms. He is the one who is our King, and He rules over us, and He leads us. He is our God who accomplishes His work, who loves us as His children. He is our Savior who receives us just as we are without any accomplishment on our part. How do we respond? How do we lift up our voices and shout it from the rooftops? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you comfort our hearts, that you hear the cries of our hearts when we are in despair, when we are discouraged. And Lord, we can rest assured that in you, we are not abandoned. In you, we have the promise of life, the promise of hope. And in Christ, we can be saved. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to shout it from the rooftops, to shout it from the highest mountain, what it is that you've done in our lives. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.